Amen. Let's give the Lord another love offering. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Amen. You may be seated. May God continue to bless his word. Father, we are so thankful for your love and for your goodness, for the joy of knowing that your word is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We ask as your word go forth today that you'll speak to the hearts of the men and women that are here today, that you'll change our minds, that you'll change our attitudes, and that we'll change our walk. We thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do. Pray for our pastor as he brings forth the word this morning, that you'll give him power, that we'll hide behind the cross, that they won't see us, but they'll see you. For it's in Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about this message this week, I thought about change. What makes us change? What makes or become different? Take or use instead of. To change one thing for another. We ask for change when we go to the store. And how do you define change? We want change, but we're not willing to change ourselves. We want change in the justice system. We hear about climate change. I read some quotes that I want to just give you one of those aha moments. Be the change that you wish you could see in the world. Your life doesn't get better by chance. It gets better by change. Life is like underwear. Change is good. Amen. Amen. I like this one. When a woman says what it is not, when a woman says, what is it? Not because she didn't hear you, she's giving you a chance to change what you said. If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. That was by Maya Angelou. Together we can change the world. Just one ransom act of kindness at a time. When you forgive, you in no way change the past. But you sure do change the future. I like that one. I'm going to read that again. When you forgive, you in no way change the past. But you surely do change the future. In Adam, in chapter 3 of Genesis, Adam was changed. He was changed from dust to a man. That's a change, my friends. A change that we can only imagine. But another change that Adam had when he was in the midst of the garden and his wife spoke to the serpent. Her whole complex changed to talk to something that she never spoke to before. And he gave her a choice. He says that if you eat of this fruit, you're going to be changed. No doubt in my mind, you're going to be changed. But the mind said, well, don't eat of the, we got a command, don't eat of the fruit of the, in the midst of the garden. But when she heard that it was, and seen that it was good, she surely wanted to try it, didn't she? In verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. At that moment, there was a change in those in that couple's life. It was amazing because verse 8:7 says, and the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked. Man, that was a change. That was a change in their life because when their eyes was open, they seen something that they realized that they hadn't seen before. And folks don't want to be naked. Even in today's society, we don't want to be naked, do we? Huh? That's the first time that I realized that nakedness is bad. We don't want to be naked. We don't want to open up to folks. Because when we open up to folks, there's a change that takes place. Mm-hmm. Things are revealed. Folks can see the real you. Yeah. When we're naked. And some folks don't want that change. Even in our homes, with the doors closed and the blinds shut, we don't want to be naked. We don't want to see each other. Verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. Now, my question to you this morning is, how can you hide from God? How can you hide from God? Where are you going to hide that he does not know where you're at? I just don't know how you're going to hide from God. He already knows everything. He knows where you're at. The change was when they heard the voice and they hid themselves. It's amazing. Verse 9 says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He didn't ask about his wife. He asked about Adam. And he said, where art thou? Do you see his reply? Do you see his reply? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. He didn't say, I seen you. He says, I heard thy voice in the garden. I want you to remember that because we're going to talk about other folks that can hear God. I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Why are you afraid to change? Why are you afraid to change? Why don't you want God to work in your life and to be in your midst? Why are you running from God? What is it that you're doing that you want to hide from God? Verse 11 says, no, let me finish. I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou were naked? That was a good question. That's a good question. Who's telling you that you're wrong and that you sin and that you want to run and hide? Someone's making you aware of that you've sinned. God came right in front of them, showed them, hey, who told you that you were naked? And that thou hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shalt not eat? I like this in verse 12. Always blaming other folks, aren't we? Amen. Men always do that, don't we, men? Huh? It ain't my fault. I know you won't admit it, but it ain't my fault. I always tell my wife, it ain't my fault. And the man said, verse 12, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Do you see change there? Do you see the change in the attitude, the mindset, and the blame? I wrote this down. How their life changed after they met the serpent. They sinned, they feared, and they failed. They sinned, they feared, and they failed. Even in your life, even in your life. So what did they do? What did God do? God changed their situation, didn't he? Now they got to work. It was supposed to be easy for us. But now there's going to be briars. There's going to be labor for the woman. There's going to be sweat for the men. And when we sweat, and after a while, after you sweat a long time, what happened? You stink. Don't sweat cause a stink? Amen. I know y'all won't agree. That's all right. It's the truth. It's the truth. Verse 15 says, I will put enmity between the woman and between the seed and her seed. In Adam, verse 17, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thickles it shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thy return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall thou return. Can you imagine that? Hearing the Lord God telling you, from dust thou art, and from dust thou shalt return. It's amazing what God will do when we sin. Amen? But that's not the only person that I thought of that changed not only their attitude, their lifestyle, their environment. But in chapter in Acts, chapter 9, I first was going to go to Acts chapter 2 when Peter spoke to the people there and they heard their language and their own. It changed them. They thought the men were drunk. But I said, nah, because drinking does change folks, don't it? And a lot of us used to drink. I used to be a Mad Dog 2020 specialty or Irish Rose specialty, and I'm ashamed of it, but I used to drink it. I thank God he changed my life.
Amen.
You know, I mean, Mad Dog 2020 was a drink back then, but it wasn't good for you. It changed you, just like bourbon and gin. Old Mr. Boston I used to drink, because that was the cheapest gin around. And I couldn't afford Seagram or the other expensive stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen, you know. Bacardi rum used to change you. You want to change the taste of Bacardi rum? You put Coke in it. It changed, didn't it? Amen. And then all y'all expensive folks to drink that scotch and put water and scotch together. It changed it, didn't it? But we're afraid to admit that alcohol changed us. Not for the good, but it changed our personality. But I didn't want to talk about that. I wanted to go to Acts chapter 9. If I could. In verse 5. Acts chapter 9, verse 5. Saul met the Lord, he says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If you look back at the first four verses of chapter 9, you'll see a change. Not only in Saul's life, but in the life of the men that were with Saul. Verse 3 says, as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, who else heard? Didn't I just talk about a man that just heard a voice? Didn't Adam hear the voice of God in the garden? Now Saul's hearing the voice of God on the Damascus road, and he says, Saul, why thou persecutest thou me? And he says, who art thou? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against. Verse 6. God gives him instructions. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever asked the Lord, what would you have me to do? He says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Verse 7, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. I can only imagine, my friends, what those men felt like, or imagine how they journeyed down that road. There was a change in their attitudes. There was a change in their mindset, because they knew something had happened. And something had changed their life. Amen? So if it was you, what would you have been thinking of? What would you have done? Verse 8. I want you to see this clearly. Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. In Genesis, we talked about a man's eyes was open, and he seen he was naked. Mm-hmm. Saul's eyes was open, he couldn't see no man. Wasn't there a change in him? Wasn't there a change in him? Can you imagine? You once could see, but now you're blind. And the men led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight. Without sight. And neither did he eat nor drink. Now I was wondering to myself, did he not eat or drink because he couldn't see and didn't know where to get food from, or the men didn't feed him, or was he just changed in his thought life? Now, I don't know. I can only imagine, assume that he was fasting. But I don't know, because he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. It says in verse 9, for he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. But God took care of him. Another man that I want you to see in verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. See how the Lord speaks to people? You see how the Lord speaks to people? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into this street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah of one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hands on him that he might receive sight. Then Ananias answered, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints of Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Look at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You see how the Lord spoke to Ananias and changed his mindset? Told him to do what I tell you to do. What is it going to take in your life? What is it going to take in your life to change? Because he can change you. He can change you. Either you'll change willingly or you'll go through some things in your life that will change you. Amen? You know, I was thinking how folks change when they go through certain circumstances. Let's say, for example, when your parents get sick, you have to change your schedule, your attitude, because you become the caretaker then. And you have to change to get things done. You've got to change your eating habits because they're older and they can't eat the things that you eat. You got to change your lifestyle because you've got to be more at home. And then you've got to change in your attitude. You know, you've got to be willing to change. And then I was thinking of our society, of how our police officers have changed. Not only have they changed, but they've changed some for the good and some for the bad. It all depends on your attitude. Because if you come off wrong to one of these officers today, they can say, you threatened them. And how can you prove that you didn't? Huh? Is your word against theirs? And only the truth can be known, right? Verse 13. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon the name, on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him, saying, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if there had been scales, and he received sight, forthwith arose and was baptized. Let's stop there for a minute. Did you see a change there? Not only did Saul receive his sight, but Ananias seen what the Lord had done in a man that was fighting against the Lord. And he changed him, right in front of Saul, Ananias. He was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Verse 19, then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which was at Damascus. Now, I want you to see this because their attitude had changed. Because the disciples were afraid of this man because he would have been arrested or killed them to take them back to Jerusalem. But the disciples, right in the midst of Saul. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and came hither that for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. So to you, my friends, what is it going to take for you to see that is God and God by himself that can change your life? We've seen two folks, or maybe more, their lives has been changed because of the word. We read that the Lord never changes. We know that, we who are Christians. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forevermore. But I like what 1 Corinthians 15 says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you change. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Have you received Christ as your Savior, or you don't want no change? He says, for all have sinned and come short. There's none righteous. No, not one. But you got to be willing to change your life. And that's what it's all about, my friends. For us to make a change in society, we've got to have a change of attitude. If you want to change your life, Change your friends. Change your environment and come to Christ. He'll give you some new ones. He'll change you if you're willing to let him. Or are you like Adam and Eve? Hiding. Hiding. And don't want Christ to work in your life. Are you willing to change? Christ says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Would you come to the Lord today? Would you come? You might be a member of a church, but you're not a part of God's family because you haven't accepted Christ that can change your heart and your mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Are you just religious? That's your choice. But he says, come. Can we all stand, please? Is there one today who says, I've come, I want to make a change. I've been coming to church, I've been singing on the choir, but I'm willing to make a change in my life. I want that change that only God can do. Is there one today that is willing to come?
Change me, oh God.
Is there one?
Make me more.
You might be looking for a church home and says, hey, I want to get involved. I want to make a difference. I want to get involved because I want to change my attitude, my friends, my environment. Is there one today who says, hey, I want to make Crossroad my choice? You may be seated.